The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
Now, we're going to talk a lot about this matchup between these two teams and also try to at least do our best to avoid any type of major great stadium debate. Again, we're going to try our best. No guarantees, because I feel like no matter what happens.
It's the least important thing this week.
Yep, but no matter what happens, somebody's going to bring it up. Somebody's going to call in. Somebody's going to tweet. It's inevitably going to happen.
Well, this game and winning this game
means more.
Exponentially more, as Mike Irwin said on Twitter, and I couldn't agree more. The game and trying to get on the board in the SEC means a heck of a lot more than any discussion that doesn't fit at this time about the SEC about the stadium and what goes on there. Trying to get on the board in the SEC and get a win right now against a team that I don't know if you're even with, but Vegas says, what, 7 or 8 points, depending on where you're looking?
Moved down to 5.5.
5.5. It started at 7 or 8 and then moved down to less than a touchdown. So you've got a real chance to win this game. Talking about the game is far more important than talking about something that we can talk about in June. You know.
Yeah. 6 points, by the way, is what the spread is at right now. So it's kind of moving all over the place for Arkansas. And yeah, this is the first time that you're going up against an SEC opponent, like you said, Tommy, where it just feels like, I won't say they're even, but I will say that the way Arkansas has been playing and the way Ole Miss has played so far this year and where the game is at and just where the programs are at in general, you feel like this is your best chance so far this year to get your win against an SEC opponent. And you've played really some tough teams in the SEC. Mm-hmm. You've played 3 games against Auburn, A&M, and Alabama.
Not just an SEC win. How about an FBS win?
An FBS win, yeah, because you still haven't gotten that yet. So this is going to be your next best opportunity. The game is at night. It's in Little Rock. You feel like that Ole Miss, even though they have a great quarterback in Jordan Tamu. Yep. You got him that's really good at the quarterback position, but their defense is horrible. They don't really look like the offense that they looked like at the beginning of the year. I think some of the defenses have been able to find some flaws with them as well. And so this is just a great opportunity for you to get that first SEC win, and how important it is. There's no question that it's very important, because you saw in previous years, and especially under Brett Bielema in year one, how devastating it is to not have a single SEC win all season long. Now, I know that schedule that Brett Bielema had in 2013. Yeah, and in 2013, it was a much more difficult schedule. I get that. But the last thing you ever need to do, if you're a head coach at Arkansas, no matter the season, no matter how bad the team is, no matter what, is go 0-8 in conference.
Well, and then you compound the problem this year with losses to Colorado State, North Texas.
So essentially you have 2 wins, maybe, if you beat Tulsa.
And 1 FBS win.
Yeah.
And against a very weak Tulsa, what appears to be at this time, a less than average Tulsa team.
Yeah, they only have 1 win on the season.
Right. This is not a Tulsa team that's battling for their conference either.
Yeah, it's not a Toledo of 2015 right, where they're just a really good team in their own right. No, it's nothing like that. So you have an opportunity against Ole Miss. Now, it's going to be tough, and once we get closer to it on Fridays, we'll start making our predictions on whether or not we think Arkansas will win. But there's no doubt that there is a certain confidence among the players, among the coaches, and even among the fans to where they have been playing the past couple of weeks and how well they've progressed, especially offensively, where they feel like, okay, now we have some things that we can really hold our hats on, and now we feel like if we can score 31 points against Alabama, well, there's no telling how many points we can score against Ole Miss.
Yeah, I know we're going to hear from John Chavis here in just a little bit on the show, but you scored 31, but you gave up 65. You got to deal with that, because they still determine the winner by the most points. So Arkansas's got some issues they got to deal with, and I know Alabama can make you look silly, but a lot of Arkansas's problems are still self-inflicted, and that's the thing Arkansas's battled all year long. It's beating themselves.
Does make you
self-inflicted wounds.
Does make you wonder, though, too, about Arkansas's defensive performance against Alabama. Was that a lot? I mean, we'll never know, but was it a lot more of them just having breakdowns and them just not being ready? Or was it just maybe they, I didn't say scared of Alabama's offense, but just kind of were in awe of it a little bit, got hit in the mouth early and didn't recover from it? I mean, what was it?
Tackling's still tackling, right? Pursuit angles and basic fundamentals are still basics. I mean, I just, particularly early in that game, and I guess that first play just really stands out. You just didn't, you didn't see a lot of great pursuit angles. You didn't see a lot of great fundamental tackling. And when you've got a quarterback that's going for 33 yards a reception, something's wrong there. I mean, it wasn't like he was throwing it deep downfield on every reception. And if he was, then how's he getting that kind of time? So there's some things there that, I mean, there's some, to me, some wrapping up and fundamental tackling that didn't go well last week.
No, and if you're John Chavis, you're so very upset by
that. You got to fix that.
Yeah, you got.
Or Ole Miss can do that to you again because they're capable of scoring.
Yeah,
they're capable of moving the ball.
They have an offense that can be scary at times. There's no doubt. So, but Arkansas is going to have to work on those basic things. And you know, offensively, I don't think it'll be a problem. Of course, I'm knocking on wood. I don't think it'll be a problem for Arkansas's offense in this game against Ole Miss to score points. I just don't think so because of the way that Arkansas's offense has progressed and how bad our Ole Miss's defense is. It's going to be, can Arkansas slow down the Ole Miss offense? Can they keep them from just having one of those games like they did last weekend? I know it was against a lesser opponent, a non-conference opponent, if you will, Louisiana Monroe, where they put up 70 points on them. But still, I mean, that the type of stats that they were just throwing out there, they had, you know, 517 yards passing and then 309 yards rushing. You know, if you do the math on that, it's nearly 900 yards, mm-hmm. I mean, or 850 yards. So they have the ability to put up offensive numbers like crazy, and that's the last thing you want to do is get in a shootout with Ole Miss. But at the same time,
or do you?
It's pretty fitting. Because that's the way Arkansas and Ole Miss seem to play every single year. It's always high scoring.
Oh, I think this is a shootout coming.
And yet someone wants to take the under in this game.
I thought about taking the under in it. I mean, 74 points is a lot of points. I mean, for an over-under in this game, I wouldn't surprise me if they got to that point, but, you know, go with your gut instinct. It could.
You're pretty confident last night. You've kind of trailed off a little bit.
I wasn't confident at all.
You said, I'm going to take the under in this game.
No.
That was your
39-38, though, and you're there, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't take much to get to that point. But, I mean, Ole Miss just has that ability. So you think that you might want to get in a shootout with Ole Miss if you're Arkansas?
I think if Arkansas can – I think that might be your best bet is if Arkansas is going to be able to get up and down the field and run a lot of plays. I mean, I think Arkansas's got to get in a game where they can run 80-plus plays in a game.
But that'd be pretty bad from the defensive perspective, though, of all the progress that you've made so far and how good you feel like the defense is.
They still determine the winner with points.
Which I get.
Can you be more effective with your offense than they will be with theirs?
Yeah.
Can Arkansas be more effective than Ole Miss?
Yeah.
I don't see any way around this game being a shootout. And when I say shootout, I mean 40-something to 30-something, 40-something to 40-something. I mean, it depends on what you want to classify as a shootout. I don't see this game as 48-21 either way, you know.
I've always felt shootouts were just, of course, high scoring, but also a minimum amount of punts. You know, that's always classified as shootout.
Well, I don't think you're going to have a lot of punts if you're scoring 80 combined points.
No. Which, again, these teams could have the capability of doing so.
I think total amount of punts will be under, like, 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and if you're scoring that many points.
But my only thing is just, I guess the counter argument to that is then that shows, or at least that means that the defense maybe has taken some steps back from what we thought was looking really good there to start the season. And I don't know, you know, if that, of course, I, you don't want that, of course. John Chavis doesn't want that, and he doesn't want to get in a shootout. He wants to stop the offense.
Sure.
I think they get that. But just given the circumstances of how good this Ole Miss offense can be, and what it looked like last weekend with Alabama's offense and what they did against Arkansas's defense. I know that Alabama's defense or offense is on another level. But
I think Arkansas's found some new weapons with Boyd.
Yeah.
With their tight ends. I think maybe Mike Woods is ready to break out. We've seen small pieces. Didn't see much last week with Bama, but maybe he's becoming more of a favorite wide receiver target with Ty Story. So maybe you can utilize some of those guys. You don't have a long list or deep well of high-profile of weapons offensively, but maybe you can package all that together somehow and get a lot of points. I think it's going to take 40-something points to win this game.
I agree with you there. Arkansas is going to have to put out their best offensive performance statistically, at least, in order to win this game. They can't score only four touchdowns and win.
Nope.
And as weird as that is to say, and as crazy as that is to say, Arkansas can't put up 28 points and expect to win this game.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skipping. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Just get into some SEC talk real quick, because I thought it was very interesting in what the conversation was being had yesterday by some SEC beat writers on Twitter about Auburn and Gus Malzahn. Do you think, just because of how things are going and the toxic situation that seems to be brewing there in Auburn, do you think he regrets not taking the Arkansas job?
Not 1 minute.
Because of the money?
Well, the money, and then long term, which program has the greater likelihood of being in the college football playoff? Which program has the greater likelihood of more 4- and 5-star recruits? Which program? I mean, just start going down the checklist of the ingredients you need to be an elite football program. The higher likelihood, whether you like it or not, is at Auburn, just because it of is. The proximity to Atlanta is a big part of it. Tradition. You've recently been in a couple of national championship games. You won one, you lost one. I mean, it's for now, doesn't mean forever, but for now it's a better setup. And he doesn't have forever to coach. And the guaranteed money, I mean, they're not going to fire him. I mean, what is it, $32 million they'd have to pay him? 30-something million dollars? He ain't going nowhere.
But when
they got a lot of money, but they ain't got that kind of money.
But when he had a longer leash at Arkansas, though? I understand the buyout thing.
Listen,
like that.
There's pressure anywhere you go.
But don't you agree there's more so at Auburn than almost any other school in the SEC?
More pressure at Auburn?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because look, just looking at their history of coaches and how short of a leash they did have because of the reasons why.
Listen, just because a few nutball fans open up a GoFundMe page doesn't mean...
No, but these are people that cover the team that are writing these articles and discussing these things. I don't think he should be fired. I don't think he deserves to be fired. I don't think he should even be on the hot seat. Mm-hmm.
As I was talking about yesterday, every week in the SEC West, particularly when two Western Division teams are playing each other, it seems like someone's coaching for their job. And to me, that's so overstated, but it just seems like every week someone's back is to the wall and someone's season is on the line, and then whoever loses that game, that coach should be fired. Every week. I mean, Mississippi State and Auburn last week played, and someone's season was on the line there. You're out of the West, and you know, your season was coming apart. Every week, there's a game in this, and that's what makes this division great. It's what makes it a lot of fun to watch and cover. But every week there's some program whose coach is going to be on the hot seat and their season is over with a loss.
Well, that's what makes it so great, is it almost seems like desperation all the time. And like you said, it's for the entertainment factor. Well, it's great because it shows how much is on the line each game. Doesn't make it right, but that's just the reality of it all.
It's almost ridiculous, though, some of the things that come out of the losses, though, and some of the conversations that come up.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. It gets out of hand, it gets ridiculous, and you don't wish it was that way, but that's what the monster of the SEC, specifically the SEC West, has become, is that it's not, you know, build up programs or win later or, hey, you just had a bad game. There should be none of that. You can't have that. You can't have bad seasons. And that's why, when it comes to coaching especially, and I've said this so many times before and I'll continue to say it, coaches should never be judged off games. They should be judged off seasons. Wait until the end of the season happens and then make your judgments there.
Well, I mean, but that's why since Nick Saban's been at Alabama, most schools in the SEC West have changed coaches 2 to 3 times. I mean, think about that.
Pretty much every program.
Arkansas has. Ole Miss has.
Auburn has.
Auburn has.
Mississippi State's probably the one.
LSU's had
two.
Two.
Mississippi State's
that's
had two
coaching change. Mississippi State's had Dan Mullen and now
Joe Moorhead.
Joe Moorhead that's there now.
A&M's even had two. They haven't been in that long.
Yeah. They've only been in half the time.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you?
Tells you that people don't have patience when you're going up against Alabama and Nick Saban. They don't want to wait. Especially the bigger programs. They don't want any part of it. You have to be able to win, and you have to. It's almost like in the SEC West, we know the monster that it is, and we know that any given Saturday, anything can happen. I mean, we see upsets all the time. I wouldn't have dreamed that LSU would lose to Florida. I honestly thought that LSU was a much better team, but it happened, and it did. And it happens all the time, every single year, it seems like, unless you're Alabama. But even Alabama in some years have lost to teams that they were far more superior than. But things just happen. But it's like people put so much pressure and so much passion into a single game and how much it means, and if they lose it, then it's all for naught. It's over. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
That's what creates this really toxic situation.
That's why it's so wonderful, too.
But that's the thing. It makes it great, but it makes it bad. It makes it to where people think that the SEC fans are nuts and think that they expect way too much from their football programs. I mean, how many times did we hear when Brett Bielema was let go, or at least the hot seat was going on? People who even are in the SEC, cover the SEC, think that Arkansas, their expectations just need to be checked. You got to realize that you're not the program that you think you are. You're a average of a 6 or 7 win program. You need to understand that. Mm-hmm. And that's not just Arkansas. There'd be other programs like that too, like Ole Miss or like Mississippi State. If they fired their coach because they weren't performing, there'll be people coming out and saying, hey, you need to realize that you're not Alabama. Yeah. You need to... But that's bullcrap, and that's how the SEC looks at it. No. We're better than that. But somebody's got to finish last, Tommy. Somebody's got to lose. And therefore, there lies the problem, is across the conference, across the division especially, almost everybody has the same level of expectations every year. Now, some are higher than others. Obviously, Alabama has a much higher expectation than what Arkansas does. I think we all realize that. But as far as where they think the program should be, they're all pretty high up there. Everybody feels like they should win at least 8 games a year. But somebody's got to finish last. Somebody's got to lose these games. And it can't be your program. Your program can't be the one that finishes last. Or else changes need to be made. That's what's become the monster of the SEC West.
That's why we've seen 2 to 3 different head coaches in the last 10 to 12 years at most schools.
And I wouldn't change it. I really wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's what makes it so fun because, again, I just point back last weekend, Mississippi State, Auburn, the loser of that game dropped to, what, 2 losses in the SEC standings? For Auburn standard, that's season over in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win the West. You're out of the college football playoff. All hopes and aspirations of the kind of season you were wanting to have gone. Down the drain halfway through the year.
It was the same way with even a South Carolina-Missouri game last weekend. South Carolina fans were saying, I mean...
Not quite on the same level.
But I'm saying that by looking at that game, though...
Neither one of those programs were hoping to be in the playoff.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Even programs that aren't to that high level... Their fan bases look at those games and look at that loss or that win and say, okay, this is what's going to determine whether or not we put our coach on the hot seat or not. I mean, that's the mentality of it. And I know in the SEC West it's worse, but that's what it's become. And it's the same way when we started the conversation talking about Gus Malzahn. He's entering in his 6th year as Auburn head coach, and there's no doubt that he's had a lot of success. Granted, he's had 2 great seasons and then 3 pretty average seasons. Which is funny you say average, but 7 wins, 8 wins is average compared to the other 2 where he's had sandwiched in. But if Gus Malzahn has another 8-4 year this year, which looks like it'll be very possible since 2 of the games he has left on his schedule is at Georgia and at Alabama, and he's already got 2 losses, could go 8-4, maybe 7-5. Yeah. They drop another one. He's going to be right back on the hot seat, and Auburn fans are going to be livid.
They're not going to pay him $30 million to go away. 30 it 32 or 36?
Yeah, it's 30. It's about, I think it's 32 for the bottom. But, and which I agree with, they're not going
to
pay that.
They're going to do that to go away.
They're not going
to
pay that. But what do you think the situation is going to be like in Auburn with the fan base, with the ticket sales, with what the call-in shows, just the absolute horrible situation that it's going to be?
That's for fans to worry about. As a head coach, you just worry about recruiting, and you worry about getting more 4 and 5 stars to visit, what games you have left on campus. And then you move on.
But don't you think that has an impact, though, on them? Don't you think that if the fans are just absolutely irate and saying that the performances have been unacceptable, and they're doing in their own rights and in their own ways, showing their displeasure, that doesn't have at least a little bit of an impact on the head coach and his performance and how he thinks and his mentality and where they're going and how the program will be and the culture that's surrounding it?
Well, I mean, look at Arkansas. It's 1-5 here.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying it's toxic here, because it's not. I think people have been very supportive. We've had a lot of positivity, but it's 1-5 here. And people are, I guess, different situations.
Yeah, let me throw it this way. Towards the end of Houston Nutt's tenure at Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. A team that got to the Cotton Bowl, last year.
Got in the Cotton Bowl, and then the year before that won 10 games, played in the SEC championship game.
Totally different deal.
I get it, but do you not agree, though, that the fan base and their displeasure with the performance by Houston Nutt had an impact on all of that?
I think that display, as we know in hindsight, had a lot more to do with the treatment of Gus Malzahn.
Mm-hmm.
And the way those Springdale players and all of that drama had a lot, all of that had as much or more to do with what happened with his dismissal, or his for quitting, as I like to say. The agreement they came to for him to no longer be the head coach, than wins and losses on the field.
Well, I agree. But you don't think the fans fueled that?
Absolutely.
That
message
fire.
Boards, airplanes flying around the stadium? Of course it did.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It can't have an impact on it. I don't know if they're going to be flying banners down there in Auburn. They may. Boy, that was a weird time, wasn't it? Thinking about all that time back then.
But that's what, I mean, where much is, I go back to the old adage, where much is given, much is expected.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
And in fact, let's welcome in right now Grant Cook, former Razorback offensive lineman and friend of the show. Grant, appreciate you joining us this morning, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, anytime, man. We've been trying to make sense out of this team right now for Arkansas, sitting at 1-5. Obviously, there's been some good things and some positives that have been able to be taken out of the past few weeks. But just since this is your first time that we've had you on this football season, what's your overall feel about this football season as far as what your expectation was, how you feel like the team's progressing, just your overall mood right now towards the Razorbacks?
So when we came in and Chad Morris came in, I think the first year of any new head coach is essentially a wash, right? And you're not necessarily looking at wins and losses, and in those wins and losses, you're not looking at points scored or anything like that, but you just want to look for progress on the field. Regardless of, if we scored 31 against Alabama and gave up 65, if we lose to North Texas, you just want to see that there is something to get on board with and some changes that are being made in a positive direction. And that was really what I was expecting to see, or I guess my expectations were for the season, was that you could see from game one to the end of the year that there was a significant and positive change to the program.
Specifically for linemen, Grant, what is the difference in running the style of offense that Brett Bielema had and for linemen? And I'm talking, take us some inside football here stuff, footwork, what you do with your hands, some of the things. What are the hardest transitions for these linemen that they've had to learn over the summer and through August and to this point in the season?
So I mean, first and foremost, with Coach Bielema's offense, it's run heavy, so you're going to be depended on. I mean, and not that you aren't in other offenses, but in this offense, in Coach Bielema's offense, you're going to be the cream of the crop. I mean, if the offense goes as the offensive line goes, and if you're not prepared or you're not ready to play, well, it's going to be noticed because we're going to be running the ball right behind you and we're not going to get anything. And Chad Morris's offense, it allows the offensive line to be a little bit greener, I guess you could say. Moving the set point of the quarterback, running more zone, more blocking combinations versus man-to-man blocking. So you're having an opportunity where you're not going to be as dependent on, and you're not going to have to be – the offense doesn't go as you go. Now the quarterback is in that position. That's another topic for discussion. But, yeah, so I think that, you know, in Coach Bielema's offense, you have one-on-one blocks that are hard to maintain. You're asking people to essentially manhandle one person, and you're not getting as much help as you were in this offense, where you're going to have more double team blocks up to the linebackers, and the running backs are going to be more successful because they get they get to do what they're there to do and make a decision and find the hole they want to run in.
Speaking with Grant Cook, former offensive lineman for the Arkansas Razorbacks, right now in the Morning Rush. Hey, Grant, speaking of quarterbacks, High Story seems that he is the guy, and the way that he performed against Alabama was pretty incredible by most people's standards because of the expectation that they had with him and having the growing pains and having to learn all this. There's no doubt that he's tough. You played with some great quarterbacks like Ryan Mallett and Tyler Wilson. Just what do you think about Story and his performance so far this year, and also the toughness and grittiness that Chad Moore seems to relish so much on?
I mean, I think grittiness is a great term to explain the way that Ty's played. He's taken his lumps this year. Obviously, the first few games of the season going back and forth between himself and Cole, and there being some uncertainty there, but he just kept pushing forward, and he's made enough plays to make the team feel comfortable with him, and the players feel comfortable with him, the coaching staff feel comfortable with him. So more power to him. I think he's done a pretty good job. Obviously made some mistakes, but that's to be expected in a complex offense. I mean, you guys have seen everything that we're running out there, and Coach Moore says that we're 30% installed. I know exactly what that's like playing for Coach Petrino. Coach Petrino had a very complex offense, and obviously after year one, you start getting into year two, it's better. Year three and year four are obviously really, really good. And, I think that the longer that we give this staff, the better off we're going to be. I mean, 30% installed this year, probably 90% next year. And that other 10%, I don't know if Tyler's in there, but that other 10% typically is more game plan type of plays that you're going to do specifically for Alabama or specifically for Georgia or Tennessee or whoever you're going to end up playing that week. So you leave a little bit of leeway to modify some of those base foundational plays to be team or game specific.
Well, Tyler's not in here, so you know what that means. We can do, Grant. we can talk about him.
Oh boy!
So you played with him. So we need a good Tyler. He's going to be on at 8. So we need a good Tyler Wilson story. We need something we haven't heard before. What you got?
Oh man. Well, there's a lot. Probably. I mean, there's a lot floating through my head, but I'm going to have to be careful. I know Tyler's probably. Tyler's probably got stories about me that we can talk about today. So, I don't know. Tyler, I mean, everyone showed he wore it all on his sleeve. I mean, you know, we unfortunately didn't do the best job of protecting him all the time, but he's a tough kid. But there is one story. So I think we were at Alabama in Tuscaloosa, the 2011, and Tyler had been hit a few times, and so we're in the game, and he calls a check, and Travis Swanson and I are playing right next to each other, and we had been in the offense for 4 years now, and everyone pretty well knew what everybody does, and Tyler calls this check, and it's loud, and we turn around and look at him and realize that the check that he called, you needed a fullback in the game, and we had no fullback in the game. So we kind of turn around and look at him. We're like, Tyler, we can't run that play. There's not a fullback in the game. And of course, he's looking at us like he's got, you know, he's just got wide eyes. He's not real sure what's going on. But I mean, we ended up being okay in that game. Nothing too crazy. But yeah, from there on, he was spot on. I will say that.
Well, there you go. So yeah, that's did the play go okay though?
Well, he checked it again.
Okay.
I will say that.
Okay.
Well,
just
he checked it.
Just wanted to make sure that the play went well. Hey, Grant, another thing that we've been talking about, and I'm sure you're asked about this, and I'm sure you have your own thoughts on it. Arkansas is playing Ole Miss this weekend. They have to travel to Little Rock. We don't have to turn this into the great stadium debate, but just from a player perspective and you having to go down there yourself and play, Bobby Petrino had a lot of success there. Houston Nutt had a lot of success there. What was the difference in that, and as far as the preparation and everything, from playing a home game in Fayetteville to playing technically a home game in Little Rock? How was it different? How was it approached? How did you guys feel?
Let's just be honest, it's a road game for the team, and I get that there are fans that are in that area, and then we need to play in Little Rock, and you know, I'm 51 way 50% the other. Really, you know, it really doesn't matter to me. I think that we've invested a lot in the stadium up here, and you know, it's a great place, and there's something to be said about that. But I get that they need to play in Little Rock, and the thing that I probably don't agree with as much is that it's an SEC game, and I know I've probably made some people mad saying that, but the team looks at it as an away game because that's exactly what it is. They have to travel. They have to stay in a hotel. I mean, they're actually traveling 2.5 hours on a bus. They have to stay in a hotel the night before, and, you know, it is what it is. I think that there probably could be some room for improvement down there, but I don't know. That's a sensitive subject for a lot of people, and you know, we'll continue to support them at whatever the athletic program wants to do down there.
Saturday night they take on Ole Miss at War Memorial. How do you see this game? A lot of people think this will be a high scoring shootout, team scoring in the 30s and 40s. I think it's going to take a lot of points to win this game. What do you think it's going to take to beat Ole Miss on Saturday night?
Well, we're going to have to score. I think Ole Miss has proven that they can put up points this year. Their defense is not very good, but you know, we're going to have to rely on our offense here. Our defense, I think, can stop Ole Miss some, but they have a great receiving staff, arguably one of the best in the nation, if not the best in the nation, great quarterback. It's going to be a little bit of a shootout, I think. And what scares me there is I think their offense is better suited for a shootout than Arkansas's offense is. So we're going to have to put it all together this week, offense, defense, and special teams, which I think we have done just in different games. I think we've had great success in all three phases of the game, but not all together. So I think this week is the week that we have to put it all together. And we go play Ole Miss, and if we do that, I think we have a great opportunity to win.
So there you have it. Grant Cook, former Arkansas Razorback offensive lineman.
Now, are you the real Grant Cook, or is the baseball player the real Grant Cook? We've got some confusion over that.
Well, I think I'll give that title to him. They did go play for a World Series title. That's more than I can say. So
there you go. Hey, well, you're kind to join us this morning. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys. Absolutely. Anytime.
Hey, appreciate it, Grant. That's Grant Cook, former Razorback offensive lineman.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.